All right, so open your Bibles today as we begin to break bread, going into the book of Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 17 today. I'm going to read a few scriptures and share what the Lord has for us today. It is a day of breakthrough and advancement. Somebody say advancement. God wants his people to advance. He has promotion in mind for you. He has elevation in mind for you. He has advancement in mind for you. Amen. You have to know what the Lord has in mind. What is on his mind for you? What is on his heart for you? Promotion is on his heart for you. Elevation is on his heart for you. Increase is on his heart for you. You have to know God's plans for you. It's not evil, it's good. You see, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to help you. Plans to increase you. Plans to advance you. Not to destroy you, to give you a hope and a future. Hallelujah. He says, I know the plans I have for you. First Kings. So we have to recognize when the thoughts come to our mind, what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. Because if you accept something in your mind or from someone else that is not from the Lord, but you think it's from the Lord, you could get yourself in problems. You can find yourself in trouble if you receive the wrong word. That's why you have to be discerning and be wise so that you can know. That's why you have to read the word and study the word and meditate on the word and spend time with God so that you would know his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, they know my voice, and they follow me. And the voice of strangers, they will not follow. Right? So when the enemy comes and tries to trick you, you have to recognize him and say, oh no, devil, you're not God. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Get out. Hallelujah. So you got to know the voice of God. 1 Kings chapter 17, reading. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilgad said to Ahab, he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. What a powerful statement. Verse 2, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherit, which flows to the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, for I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God told his prophet, he says, I've commanded the ravens, ravens are a type of birds, to feed you in the place that I send you. I want to talk to you today about Ravens Restaurants. I don't know if you ever heard about that restaurant, but the Lord put this word in my spirit this morning. He said, tell my people about my provision that is on that is in place for them. Tell them that I would give them a word that would bring them and lead them into that place of my provision. I want to talk about how God leads his people from one place. He was in a place of trouble because he had just confronted the king. Think about if you went to Obama and told him, hey, Mr. Obama, you've been carrying this country down the drain, and God says there's no going to be no rain until I say so. Well, the next word that's going to come to you from the Lord was, hey, get out of here, get out of Dodge, quick, fast, and in a hurry, and go hide somewhere, right? And he told his prophet, he said, listen, get out from where you are. I love that word. He said, get away from here. You can imagine the seriousness of the word and the immediacy of the word, right? And he told him, he said, get away from here. Get up and get away from here. But he didn't tell him just leave where he was. But he told him, he said, go eastward. Go eastward, right? And hide by the brook. And many things I want to draw out here today. And I just want to make sure that I say exactly what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear. Because The Lord says ravens restaurant. And if you understand about ravens, birds, right, these ravens, this was a very interesting word that the Lord told to Elijah. Because until this time, Elijah had never read in any of the scriptures or heard any stories where any birds had ever fed any person, right? There wasn't a scriptural precedent for it. There wasn't a great prophet before him who had experienced that. This was a brand new word. No prophet had ever heard anything like this, that I'm going to send you by a river, and you're going to drink by that river, the water, and I am going to send ravens to feed you. Now, several different things that you have to understand. One of the things is that Elijah understood that these ravens were considered unclean birds because they were scavengers, right? So they were unclean birds. So for an unclean bird to feed him, that would take some faith to begin with, right? In addition to, it was a brand new word. He had never heard this word before. He had no precedent for it. And ravens, if you understand ravens, they live in pairs, right? Male and female, and they would live together. But what happens, the young ravens, when they are born and when they begin to fly, before they pair off, they join gangs. So there would be great groups of young ravens, male and female, flying in groups or gangs. And these, until they found a mate. Once they found a mate, they would begin mating and go off to themselves, and only both of them would be there. So I'm thinking, the scripture doesn't say clearly, but I'm thinking it was a group, a gang of young ravens. And Elijah probably thought, he was like, you know, ravens, I mean, everybody in Israel knew ravens, right? These are the birds that would come and steal your food, right? You couldn't leave food outside. You turn your back and they would grab your food and go, right? Because they were a pretty big bird, right? And they were a smart bird. They were intelligent birds, but they were considered scavengers, right? You're making barbecue, they would grab your barbecue and fly, take off. Right? So for God to say, hey, this bird that steals, maybe he had lost food to this bird before. But God says, no, I'm going to cause this bird that steals food to come and bring food. I'm going to cause a gang of birds that normally steals food. I'm going to cause that gang of birds to come and bring food for you in the morning and in the evening. Right? And it goes to show that God is a miracle provider. God knows how to provide for his people. And God will use unusual means to provide for his people, as long as his people are open to what the Lord would say to them and how the Lord would move. If they put him in a box and they say, well, no, you know, I don't believe that birds can bring food for me, well, then you're going to probably starve. But Elijah was smart enough to know that the God he served, he was able to do anything. And he was able to use even what I don't expect and people I don't expect, animals I don't expect to bless me. And this bunch of rebellious teenage birds, right, that would actually go now and steal from other people and bring it to the man of God. Right, the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked, right, is stored up for the just. So one of the ways that the Lord equalizes things is bring what belongs to them, take it away, and fly over here and just drop it in my house. You know, you can do that anytime you want, Lord. You can just do that anytime you want. And these ravens, nobody ever heard about a raven bringing food for you. Everybody knew ravens are the ones who would take food, and that they were unclean. But this man decided, you know, he was walking with God, and he knew that God was a miracle worker. But one of the things that happens to God's people is that when we are in a difficult situation and God wants to do a miracle in our lives, many times, sometimes people don't recognize that it is the Lord moving and working. This happened one time with Jesus, several times with Jesus, but one of the prominent times is when the disciples were in a boat crossing the river and there was a great storm. So Jesus decides now, after he's up in a mountain praying, he decides to walk down and walk on the water while there's a storm. And while he's walking on the water, the Bible says that his disciples became very afraid and they thought that he was a ghost. And what happens to when God begins to reveal himself to you in a new way, in a way that you don't know him, in a way that you are not accustomed to him? When God begins to deal with you and reveal himself to you, sometimes they thought it was a ghost. They thought it was something evil. All right. Sometimes when God begins to deal with you, you think it's the devil. Sometimes you think it's not God, right? Just because he's moving in a new way. But what God does, if we are going to grow, then God is going to have to stretch us. And if God is going to stretch you, then he's going to have to reveal himself to you in a way that you don't know him. Because we don't know God as he is. All we know is our little revelation of who he is. But we don't know him in his fullness. We only know a small part of who he is. And that is why it is foolish for Christians to feel that they're so accomplished and that they've arrived and we know God. Well, no, you know God to a certain extent. But God, at any moment of the day, he could decide to show you a dimension of himself that's going to make you fall on the floor and start trembling like if you're dead. Because you see a different dimension of this almighty God that we know not, you know. This woman was telling me about one of her, a person that she knows, and her son was giving her a lot of problems. And she said, you know what, the Lord spoke to her and said, just give him up to me. Give him up. Just pray, Lord, take him. Do whatever you want. Just don't kill him. And that's a dangerous prayer. And the mother prayed that prayer. They say, Lord, do whatever you want with my son. I give him. Just don't kill him. And the guy went through some real hard stuff. I think an accident and different things. And the long story short is that he was actually scared into holiness. He started going to church. He started believing in Jesus. He started studying the Bible. He started, all of a sudden, he got holy. Because he was actually scared by some stuff, right, that he faced. And we don't know how God deals in different ways. And God knows how to get people to where he wants them to be. Sometimes there's great calamity. You see this all the time in the history of Israel and in the history of God's people. You would see that all the time. When God's people don't want to listen and don't want to hear and don't want to obey God, God would allow certain things to happen. Why? Because he loves them and he wants them to come into obedience. Why? Because he knows if they don't obey him, they're going to come into destruction. So he allows a little bit of trouble to come so that they would get on their knees, fall on their face, humble themselves, and begin to obey God. Mm-hmm. I know you don't like this kind of preaching. But listen, God has to stretch his people and get his people into a place of obedience. Elijah would have died if he had not obeyed the word of the Lord. Look at verse 4. It says, and it will be that you will drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Commanded the ravens to feed you there. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. What did he do? He went and he did according to the word of the Lord. This is the key to the believer. The Bible says that as many that are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the children of God. How do you identify a child of God? They are being led by the Holy Spirit. As many that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. As many that are not being led by the Spirit, they are in trouble. Because it is the Holy Spirit who is going to lead you to the place where you are going to be fed. And in this case, it was bread from ravens. But when the Bible talks about being fed, it talks about, for instance, Jesus in the wilderness. Right? When he was fasting for 40 days, enemy came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. right? And Jesus said, yeah, that's no problem. I can do that. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus was saying, right? And that scripture talks about that you are not only a natural physical person, but you are a spiritual eternal person. And as a spirit person, right? As a spirit person, you need, the same way your physical body needs physical bread, your spiritual body needs spiritual bread. And that bread is the word that God speaks to you. The word of the Lord that God releases to you. That's what's going to keep your spirit man strong and healthy and energized and being able to do what you need to do. But you reach that place, you reach a Raven's Restaurant, so to speak. You reach that place where you can be fed and where you can be strengthened, right, through obedience. Because the Holy Spirit will talk to you and tell you what to do. Notice he told Elijah, he said, listen, get out from where you are. Some people, sad to say, they are in rebellion. And in rebellion, you got to get out from where you are. Some people in stubbornness, some people in all kinds of things, right? He said, get out from where you are and go and hide by the brook. Yes. Now, to go and hide, he had to humble himself. Because why should I hide? I'm God's great prophet. I'm Elijah, don't you know? In a little while, I'm going to call on fire. I'm the great prophet Elijah. What are you telling me about go and hide? No, you got to understand that your victory is in being humble and obedient to God. If God, there's a time to hide. Sometimes believers are too puffed up and feel they're too much. And they want to fight principalities and powers and want to fight demons. And, oh, you demon over America, I bind you loose. No. Did God tell you to do that? You have to be led by the Spirit. Amen. If the Holy Spirit, if it's not your time to do that and you go and do that, you're looking for trouble. He said to Elijah, he said, go and hide by the brook. Go and hide. Now notice when Elijah, he said, go eastward. And go hide by the brook. So he had to start heading in the direction that God led him. And then when he found the brook, he couldn't just stay out in the open. He had to go and find a part of the brook that was secluded. A part of the brook that people wasn't passing. A part of the brook that you couldn't see him from afar off. A part of the brook where he could hide as the Lord told him to hide. Why? Because that is the place where God was sending the birds with the food. And where God tells you to go and what God tells you to do, that is the place where God is sending the provision. So when believers say that I don't know why I'm not being blessed, I don't know why this thing can't work out, I don't know why nothing is happening, I don't know what's going on, well, I know. As a servant of God, I know, because God says that he's going to lead his people by his voice and by his word, and he's going to direct them to go to a place, do a certain thing, because it is that place that he has provided the blessing. The blessing comes on a certain road. You got to get on this road. Raven's Restaurant is on Obedience Road. Yes. Amen. Yes. Some people looking for the restaurant on the wrong road. It is on Obedience Road that Raven's Restaurant is. If he didn't understand that, hey, I got to follow my God to the T. I got to follow him and do what he says. If he says go east, I can't go west. Hello? Yeah. If he says go east, I got to go east. If he says find a place to hide, I got to humble myself and go hide. Too many proud believers walking around. Got to humble ourselves, and we got to do what God says. Many people, they're too busy. He couldn't say, you know what? I got a big deal going on. I got a prophetic school that I got to go and teach. No, when God say, go and hide, pull out from your prophetic school that you're doing. Pull out from your traveling to the nations. Pull out from your job. Pull out. Come out. Right? You say, oh, I can't get time off for my job. Let me tell you, something happens to you, and I can't knock you over your head tomorrow. You're going to get 2 months time off in the hospital. something happens and somebody dies in your family, you're going to take 2 weeks to go and see them. You understand? Let me tell you, you're going to find time to do what you think is important. Oh, that's a hope. Oh, Chess, you're preaching good today. Hallelujah. You're going to find time to do what you consider to be important. But when God tells you, come out and go and hide, many times God calling people, right, to lock away and to do a shut in. But they can't shut in at all. Shut in? You mean lock away in my house? Lock away in a room? You mean go and rent a hotel for a week and stay there? Who has ever heard of such a thing? It's right here in the book. He said, go and hide. All the great people of God know about hiding. Oh boy, I'm going to say that again. I said, all the great people of God know about hiding. They know about locking away with God. They know about closing their door, turning off their phone, turning over their pot and saying, it's me and God alone, because I need to find that raven. I need to position myself for that raven to find me. I got to get in that secret place. I got to get in that hiding place. I got to get in that place of fasting, that place of surrender, that place of, oh my God, no more rebellion, no more stubbornness, no more wickedness, no more I way, no more my way. But I got to get on that road of obedience, because that's where Raven's restaurant is. That's where my provision is. That's where my breakthrough is. That's where my healing is. That is where the hand of God is. And people have to understand, when God say go hide, it's because somebody on your tail, somebody getting ready to give you a good cut tail. Somebody getting ready to beat you up. Hallelujah. And if you stand there, you're going to get beat up. Don't wait for the next beat up. When they beat you up, knock you down, and then you go, oh God, I'm so sorry, I should have listened. Been there, done that. You see where you read that in a book? Yeah, the book of real life, right? When you think you could, when God say, son, come away and fast, and I'm like, no, I gotta go preach. If he tell you preach, go preach. If he tell you fast, stop preaching. Hello, you better stop what you're doing and go in the secret place. Hallelujah. And go and find the Lord, because that's where your breakthrough is. That is where your breakthrough is. Hallelujah. And Elijah understood that above all else, I must obey the Lord. If I don't obey God, I am in real trouble. I must humble myself and obey the Lord, or else I'm in real trouble. And he went there, he stayed there, and we know he drank from the brook. The ravens fed him. Everything was going good. Everything. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Look what happened in verse 7, though. He says, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. The brook dried up. So what happens when God gives you an instruction to do a certain thing, and you're doing it, right? You're doing it, and in the season that he tells you to do it, it is good. But do you know that you could do the same thing that God told you to do last year? You could be doing it now. And although it was the word of the Lord last year for you, but the season has gone and that brook has dried up. And do you know that you could stay right there? Some people, God say, son, I want you to fast on every Wednesday. Fast and pray on a Wednesday. And they say, oh my God, I got a revelation from God. God told me to pray and fast Wednesday. I don't know why he chose Wednesday, but he just loves me. And oh no, he chose Wednesday because you don't work on Wednesday. Okay? Right. But when your job changed now, a year later, and your day off now is Monday, here you still trying to fast on a Wednesday because it's such a big thing for you. God tell me, fast on a Wednesday. Yes, fool, he told you that because he was home doing nothing, right? But who knows if the word of the Lord, you got to know what is his current word for you, because the brook dried up. The brook dried up. And then look at what happens. When the brook dried up, he says, verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And we know the story about the widow, how when he met this widow, check God. First, God sends some birds to feed a man. Then, instead of finding a big shot, finding somebody important with some money. Oh, my God. God chooses a widow with a little bit of flour and a little bit of house. And he sends the man Elijah, and he says, go now. I'm sending you to widow's waffles. Go to that, because all she can make for the man is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. So I'm sending you to widow's waffles. And she goes, and he says, give me a little bit of water. And she's there picking up some sticks, ready to die. But what I love about God is this, is that whenever God, when God wants to make divine connections, right? When God makes divine connections, it is always mutually beneficial. The man of God went there because God sent him, but God commanded that widow to feed him. How could a widow with no food feed a man? And he told her, he said, bring me some water, please. And she said, okay. And as she's going to bring the water, he says, but could you bring me a little bit of, just a little cake, just a little waffle? I know you have no syrup and stuff, but I take just a little waffle, please. Just a little warm waffle. I'm so hungry walking, you know, from these ravens. And she says, you know, you see what I'm doing? Like a man of God, I'm picking up some sticks because I am going to prepare our last meal. All I have is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil for me and my son, and we have one more meal. And God sends the prophet to tell her, go ahead and make your meal, but make something for me to eat first. Boy, I just tell you, it have a little bit, one waffle for me and one waffle for my son. Now you're telling me, make one for you first. Well, if I give you one, how are we gonna have just one? And it's me and my son, right? But she didn't say that, did she? She said, you know what? Oh, because God had commanded her to feed the prophet. Now, so you in your lack, you may feel that you lack this and you lack this and you. Let me tell you, you in lack nothing. You in lack nothing, because the little that you have that you would work with God in obedience will become much, because the one waffle that she gave to the prophet, right, caused that the bin of flour never to run out until rain come. And the oil, every time she poured, had some more oil. You know, I love doing that. Sometimes, you know, my wife drinks a particular milk with her tea. And sometimes when the milk is running out, I would just believe God and I would pour today. And it's like it almost empty. But say, Lord, I need for tomorrow. And then I'll pour tomorrow from that milk. Just believe in God. Because let me tell you, God is able to make what you have multiply. He's able to make it increase. Right? So God sent him first to the ravens, then he sent him to the widow woman. That's called progressive revelation. It's called what? Progressive revelation. That means God will tell you to do one thing and have you doing that one thing. When I started praying in tongues, it was 1 hour. He said, I'm going to give you a complete workout, spirit, soul, and body. I said, okay. He said, for your spirit, you're going to pray in tongues. He said, for your soul, you're going to play the Bible, the audio Bible in your ears. And for your body, you're going to run on the elliptical. So for 1 hour, I would run on the elliptical while listening to the audio Bible, while praying in tongues, right? And that, I went on with that for a long time. Went on with that. It was powerful. But then he moved me out of that and he started saying, pray 3 hours. And I don't want to tell you how much I pray now, right? But it's called progressive revelation, where God would take you one place and build you up there. And as you're faithful, right, he would take you and move you into another level of obedience. He'll take you into another place of obedience. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is that Elijah had to obey God in order to experience God's blessings on his life. And it was physical bread, but as I told you, the word of God is considered bread. Also, Jesus, you know, came across a woman, and the woman kept begging Jesus. She said, "Jesus, please, my daughter is demon-possessed. Please, drive the demon out." And Jesus was like, "No, you know, I'm not going to drive the demon out because I've been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And it's not good for me to take the bread for the children and feed it to the dogs." So Jesus was calling deliverance bread. So sometimes when people need deliverance in different areas, God calls it bread. But for you to get your deliverance sometimes, for you to get your breakthrough sometimes, you got to walk a little bit with God. There has to be a walk. Like when, for instance, Jesus found a man crippled on his bed, he said, "Do you want to be well?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, get up and walk." The man had to be willing. He had to be willing to walk away from his bondage in order to get deliverance. You say, "Rise up, get up, pick up your bed and walk." Right? Get up and walk. So sometimes we got to walk with God. Amen. We have to be willing to walk away from some things. Amen. We have to be willing to walk towards some things in order to get our breakthrough and our deliverance and the provision that God has for his people. Many pastors, many leaders are lying to the church and telling them, you know, all you got to do is name it and claim it. Just name it, man. In the name of Jesus, I'm blessed and highly favored. Money come from the east, the west, the north, and the south. If you've ever tried that, you know it doesn't work. What works, the Bible talks about, is obedience. He says, if you are careful to obey the voice of the Lord thy God and to keep his commandments, surely I will bless you. Surely I will bless you in your going out and your coming in. I bless your field, I bless your cattle, I bless everything. Right through the Bible, it talks about obedience. When we obey Almighty God, we position ourselves for his blessings. When we disobey Almighty God, we position ourselves for his correction as a child of God. And the correction of God is not nice. Believe me, if you've never felt it, you don't want to feel it. It is not nice. So what you need to do is make up your mind. Some people say, Lord, you know, Lord, help me to do this. Help me to do this. And of course, God would help you. But the bottom line is that you have to make up your mind to do it. If you don't make up your mind to change, all the praying you pray is not going to work. You could pray from now until Jesus comes. God, help me to do this. God, help me. No, you got to make up your mind. Pray for God's help, but you have to decide. God can't decide for you, and no one else can decide for you. You have to take your life into your own hands. Be responsible for your destiny. You are responsible for your destiny. You are responsible for if you succeed or if you fail. It is up to you. It's not the blame does not belong to your parents. It does not belong to your pastor. It does not belong to God. It does not belong to the devil. You are responsible. And the minute you take responsibility for your own life and you say, you know what, I'm going to succeed. I make up my mind. I'm going to serve God. I make up my mind. I'm going to obey God. I make up my mind. I'm not going to live broke or broken. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to do everything that I can to obey God so that the blessings of God can follow me and overtake my life. We have to make up our mind. We have to be strong. We cannot put off responsibility to anyone else. If you're struggling with alcohol, listen, alcohol can be broken. I keep telling people that. Struggling with drugs, whatever you're struggling with. Somebody took a shotgun and they taped it onto somebody's neck, right? This guy was having an alcohol problem. He keep wanting to drink rum. So the guy took a shotgun, tape it around his neck with the trigger and say, the next time you take a drink, I'm going to pull this trigger. Guess what? He just got sober. Just got sober. And let me tell you, right? Let me tell you, if you want to stop certain things, you could pray from now until Jesus comes. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with this. Some people struggling with sex addiction, pornography, all kinds of different things. Let me tell you, you could pray from now until Jesus comes. You will never stop. But you will stop when you decide to stop. When you decide enough is enough. When you decide that your sin is keeping good from coming to you. When you decide, right, that you are causing the curses of God to come on you instead of the blessings. When you decide you and your generations, you're digging a hole for them instead of putting them on the mountaintop. You're digging a hole to bury them. When you decide to stop and serve God, you will. And until you decide, you won't. You could pray, you could fast, you could play, you could come to church, you could do whatever you want, but you will never be serious with God until you decide to be serious with God. Until you decide to walk away. He told Elijah, he said, get away from here. Get away from here. And walk, go eastward. Hide by the brook. Until you decide to serve God with all your strength and with all your might and with all your mind. And say, you know what? I don't care who say what or who does what. I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I am going to be the person that God called me to be. I'm not going to be destroyed. I'm going to position myself in the place that God is taking me to today. I'm going to hear what he's saying to me today, what he's going to remind me that he told me 2 years ago, some of us 10 years ago, some of us 20 years ago, what he told me to do that he still wants me to do that I have not yet done. Because your blessings is on the road of obedience. And you have to understand that delayed obedience is what? When you're raising children and you tell them, Johnny, listen, I told you not to do that. That's not good. I don't like that. Don't do that. That's the wrong thing. You're going to hurt yourself. Don't do it. You talk to them once. How many times you have to talk to your children? Huh? You know, some people say, okay, I'm counting now. That's the new thing they're using now. I'm counting now. One. Johnny, you're going to listen to me? Two. Johnny, well, they should count up to 10 or 20 or 50, right? No, delayed obedience is what? And when God talks to us and tells us, listen, I want you to do so and so. What do we have to do? Only if, you see, I'm not talking to everybody today. Don't get mistaken. Many of you listening to this message, I may not be talking to you at all. I am only speaking to those who mean business with God. I'm only talking to those who want to go to the next level. I'm only talking to those who refuse to be beaten up, who refuse to be defeated, who refuse to be under the devil's foot, but who wants to be the head that God called them to be, wants to be above that God called them to be, wants to be the lender and not the borrower, wants to be that. I'm only talking to people who's serious with God. Talking to people who will not take no for an answer, but who understands that God, even in famine and drought, that God will take care of you. Yeah. Serious people. I'm not looking for people who look in necessarily for $1 million. Because notice, Elijah was here being fed by ravens and by a widow while the false prophets were eating lavishly at Jezebel's table. So many times the false people, you will see them, you know. But it's all right because as long as you have food for today, as long as you have food and you walk in with God, let me tell you, you are on top because all the false prophets' fire come down. But you know that you are going to have the fire of God. You have the fire of God, not hellfire, Holy Ghost fire you have. And though there may be seasons where all you eating is raven meat and widow waffles, While God may take you a season, through a season in your obedience, he's taking you to a place of promotion and plenty. And when you and I decide that we are going to obey God, let me tell you, everything begins to come in place. Because the puzzle of your life, the puzzle of your life can only be put together as you choose to walk in obedience to God. It's only when you decide, I'm going to obey God. Whatever he says, if he assign me to this, to the technical department, if he assigns me here, I am going to go on Google. I'm going to go study. I'm going to do this the best that I can. When you hear me operate this thing, you're going to be like, whoa. Anything he assigned me to do, if he assigned me to do, to translate, if he assigns whatever his assignment is upon my life in multiple areas, whatever his assignment is. And I don't want to mash any toes today, but the truth of the matter is, many of you listening to me, God has told you so many things to do. And over the years, and you have not done it, and some of you have not done it because it wasn't a big thing. It would just make maybe $5. And you didn't understand that $5 in obedience would turn into 500 and 5,000, and it would become something big and great in the future. But you'll never get to your future unless you obey in your present, because your every act of obedience is one step closer to your miracle. But every act of disobedience is you walking away one step farther, away in the wrong direction from your breakthrough, from your miracle, from your provision, from your inheritance in Almighty God. And you and I have to obey God. We must obey the Lord in the little things, in the big things, in the medium things. We must obey the Lord. Because if we would choose to obey God, God is going to turn things around mightily. There's going to be a great turnaround in our lives as we would obey the Lord.